Okay, it is the 14th of Teves, the 1st of January. And we continue in the Sefer Olam Hamidos on a very, very cold winter day. We seek to warm the heart. Just to review, last time, which was a couple weeks ago, we spoke about how Midos have to be fine-tuned per the Torah's guidance, not per human preferences. Spoke at length about Sheol and the beautiful mashal, the Archos Tzadikim, that Yira Shamayim is the string that runs through the jewels. You can have all kinds of nice jewels, but if they're not strung together by Yira Shamayim, they fall apart. And we also saw how the Torah really demands a level of Midah attainment that to human beings seems beyond realistic, it seems beyond rational. Not only should you not take revenge, you're not even in your heart supposed to feel any negativity. I mentioned in that context that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say that even where you're allowed to be upset, as halachic guidance, ein lo ela tarumus, all he has is the right to complain, is a halachic allowance. I mean, sometimes you don't have the right even to be upset. We spoke about the fact that a person who has an eved ivri, a slave, has to treat him as an equal, and at times when there's only one of something, has to treat him as a superior. And then at the very end, on page Yud Gimel, and I apologize if we don't have the text, but we have Izzy Hagba.
We have two copies.
Okay, good. As long as you have the important Mrs. Firm. On the top of page Yud Gimel, Rav Kestenbaum demonstrates for us something that's very fascinating, which is the Gemara in Bava Metzia is talking about whether the concept of Tzar Bala Chaim, the concept that you're not allowed to paint animals, which is a Jewish concept, whether that's Derabbanan or Deraisa. Is that a rabbinic law, or is it even a Torah law? And we have this halacha that normally you're supposed to do prika before te'ina. If one animal needs to be unloaded and another animal needs to be loaded, so the one that needs to be unloaded is suffering, so that mitzvah would take priority. But the halacha says that if it's the person you don't like whose animal is standing there, so you load the animal first. So the Gemara first says, well, that can't be true if Tzar Bala Chaim is Daraisa. I have one animal that's suffering, that's collapsing, and I have this mitzvah to help my enemy, and I'm supposed to train my midos, so I should help my enemy first. But how can I pass up the fact that this animal is collapsing? The Gemara ends up saying, no, even if the obligation of alleviating an animal's suffering is daraisa, it would still be true. It would still be true that you're supposed to help your enemy, because lokuf yitzra odif, to overcome his yitzhar, is more important, which shows to us that the midos behind a mitzvah are a daraisa concept, a daraisa aspect of the mitzvah.
Say that one more time, the midos behind
a mitzvah are part and parcel of the mitzvah. This is my elaboration, it doesn't say it in the book, but what I'm saying is, why would it be, if this is a biblical obligation, and here it's just a question of wanting to overcome a negative midah, why would the latter override the former? The answer must be that's also part of the biblical obligation, is to do it in such a way that it develops my midah. So helping load the animal of the fellow I don't like takes priority over unloading the other person's animal, even though it may be a Torah obligation to alleviate the animal's suffering. I'm sorry.
It has to do with animals. I was told that if the animal is suffering, if you have a pet, you're supposed to put it to sleep. I mean, if it's... And then somebody else told me, they asked... Anyway, I mean, I was told this by friends, that if the animal, you're not allowed to let an animal suffer. Then I was told by somebody else that they let their animal suffer because the rabbi told them they shouldn't put it to sleep.
Generally speaking, I think the first thing you said is the...
Yeah, that's why I was surprised. I just wanted to clarify.
And there's no concept of pikuach nefesh, you know, there's no concept of prolonging life for an animal. For a human being, we believe every moment of life is an immense value.
It's hard. I have to say it's hard to put an animal to sleep because you're playing God.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, you have to say, who am I benefiting?
Right.
Am I benefiting myself because I don't want to lose this animal, or am I benefiting the animal? That is a very good way to put it,
and that's going to lead to what we hope to get to today, which is ultimately seichel is supposed to guide midos. I feel compassion, But what you know, where's that compassion coming from? Is that compassion a good thing or a bad thing?
So you have to question yourself a lot of what's going on.
Yeah, intellectual analysis, right. And at the end of that section, the last paragraph of that section of Pei Yud Gimel, he says we have a pasuk in Malachi, ki sifse koin yishmu das tori yivakshu mipiu ki malach Hashem tzvakos, who basically refers to the koin as a malach Hashem tzvakos, as a famous teaching of our sages, the Gemara Chagiga. If the Rebbe is like a malach Hashem, you should seek Torah from his mouth. Meaning, the expectation is that great people can elevate themselves and be angelic, be like the Malachim. Which brings us to today's lesson. Okay, the next section is on page of Gimel Sefer. Adam Nifel Kafi Pu'ulosef. Man is affected based on his actions. His actions act upon him. It doesn't translate well. In Hebrew, Nif'al and Pu'ula are the same word. Nif'al, he is affected based on how he affects. He is acted upon based on how he acts. That phrase is famous as belonging to the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch of Aaron Halevi of Barcelona was a great Rishon who wrote a Sefer on the Parshas, where he'd go through the mitzvahs. It was meant so his son could learn something about the Parsha every week. And he gives reasons for mitzvahs, not that those are the full reasons, but he gives us reasons for mitzvahs. And he says repeatedly, he says it in the mitzvah about not breaking a bone in the Karban Pesach. He says it in the mitzvah that a person has to be misavel, and even a kohen has to make himself tamei to be in attendance for a relative's funeral. He says it in numerous mitzvahs. He applies this rule. He happens to say with regards to Luv and Esrog. You'll find the Sefer HaChinuch uses this phrase repeatedly. It's a famous phrase, Adam Nifal Kafi Pu'ulosev. So whereas a person might think you have to develop a concept philosophically and then act upon it, understand it first and then do it, we do have the opposite teaching as well, which is feign a virtue if you have it not. Act virtuous and eventually you'll become virtuous. So let's see, we're on page Gimel Osei. Va'af shebe'arnu. Even though we have explained shetikun amidus u'dover p'nimi, he spoke at great length about how fixing one's midas is an internal thing. It's not just etiquette. It's not just good strategic ways of acting to get people to do what you want or to people to like you. It's actually changing yourself. It's panimi. Mikol makom, nevertheless, bevade hamasim hachitzonim polim al panimi esadam. However, how do you change the inside? Outward actions do affect the inside. Kemosh kasev hachinuch, as the Sefer HaChinuch writes, and I just mentioned this is, I think, the first place he mentions it, but it's in many places. This is the mitzvah Tes Zayin, is the mitzvah of not breaking a bone in the Korban Pesach. Sha'adam nifal kafi pu'ulosav. That man is affected by his actions. Ki achre pu'ulos nimshachim halavos. After the actions, the hearts are drawn. If I'm busy acting in a means of rachmanus, I will develop rachmanus eventually. The mashal. For example, adam roach haveru osas eza davatov miskanevo. Person sees someone else does something good, he achieves something, and I'm jealous of him. Yachriach atzma, he should force himself, l'shabcho, to praise him, bein b'fanav, bein shelo b'fanav. In front of him, not in front of him.
Is after the actions the heart is drawn. Is that a quote from what you're reading?
That's still part of the chinuch.
What happened to ordering the books? I don't know. Like, was I supposed to do this myself?
You wanted a book.
Yeah.
And Makli wanted a book, and the order's going in, and sorry, this is Sama's book.
Don't worry. No, I was just curious if I was supposed to do it. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Cause absence makes the heart grow fonder. We're teaching you patience. And that's it. So if somebody does something and I'm jealous of it, I should force myself to praise it in front of him, not in front of him. Shebazem alamed es atmo machazek es libo shelo lakanos. He trains himself and strengthens his heart not to be jealous. Lo b'chaver ozev, lo b'shem adonachim. Not this friend, and then it snowballs. Bad mashal for the day, but it snowballs into other things. If he can train himself to act a certain way toward this person, that will usually go beyond. V'cheinim adam tzar ayin. If a person is miserly, tzar ayin is the Hebrew metaphor for he's stingy. V'koshel olitein la'acher, and it's difficult for him to give to somebody else. Yachriach atzmo olitein, he should force himself to give. Shebezeh yikne midas hanadivas, that by so doing he will acquire the trait of benevolence. Rav Hanach Leibowitz Zichrono Livracha used to tell a story about his father. Rav David Leibowitz Zichrono Livracha was the founder of Shiva, the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva, which is now a major network in the early days when things were very difficult. So Reb David Leibowitz knew a certain gevir. He knew someone who was very wealthy, and things were bad in the yeshiva, and he met him on the street. And the gevir said, "No, Reb David, how are things?" He said, "Oh, yeah, the boys don't have food, and it's not going well." And this guy was very wealthy, but he's also very stingy. And he's standing in front of Reb David, whom he respected, and Reb David's saying how things are difficult. And finally the man says, "I Reb David, Nema Rice at Central." He like took his pocket and said, "Okay, take out a 10. Like he couldn't bring himself to do it himself. "Go ahead, take a 10 out of my pocket." Anyway, he's to tell that over as an example of how some people just can't part with their money. Anyway, page Yudal Vizero, Beirushal Gemara Bamitzi Hanal. That's what the Gemara means. It's interesting, by the way, in this Sefer, he has different topics, but very often they sort of overlap. He brings up something, and then that becomes the primary theme in the next section. So he mentioned that Gemara about helping the person you don't like load his animal, kedei lokuf his yitzer, to overpower his yitzer. That's what it means. Shaydeshi yazer asona velo yaniach es atzma limoshach achar rigshe hasina shebeliva, by forcing himself to help the person he doesn't like and not allowing the feelings of dislike that are in his heart. Bazeh who melamed es atzma shelo lisnos chaver. By this, he trains himself not to hate, not to despise his friend, not to despise the other fellow. Avol me'ena ozer lasono, if he doesn't help the guy he doesn't like, af sheish tam latzdiko k'moshik asav, even if he has reasons why he thinks he can justify that, mikol makom al kochach ma'asav yichazek rikshe hasina. So that reinforces it. Somebody was there, I don't like him, I didn't help him, I just reinforced a negative trait. V'lochein, and therefore, b'chol matzav u'matzav, in every situation, shenu nimtzam, that we find ourselves, shenu nimshachem l'tovu l'ra, where we're drawn either to good or to bad, Yavo ha-ma'asa bi-achriya b'neim. Let the action come and be the decider. I'm sort of feeling drawn this way, and I'm sort of feeling drawn that way. Act in the good way. That will reinforce the positive and keep me away from the negative. In misgabrim lakofus yitzreinu, if we are able to overpower and subjugate our yitzhar, lasos hatova yashad, do what's right and straight, as pa'alo l'hashpia libeinu l'tzad tov, the effect of that is to influence our hearts to the good side, v'im l'hepech, and if the other way, if he chooses to do the negative behavior, chas v'shalom l'hepech, God forbid, it causes the opposite effect. V'achar kama ma'asim tovim chitzonim, after numerous external good deeds, gam ha'lev yiyashalim b'regesh nachon, the heart will also be complete with the proper feelings. Ki acharei hapa'ulos nimshachin halavavos. Again, paraphrasing the Sefer HaChinuch, the heart is drawn after the actions. And the Torah is full of active mitzvahs, not philosophy. You do things. V'zehu avodas ha'adam. This is the work of man. Lasos kinegativo, to act against his nature. Kidei lishbar midosav, to break his traits, meaning his negative traits. U'bozeh yechadesh la'atzmo teva chadash. And by this, he will make new for himself, create a new nature for himself by acting that way. Kas of HaRambam, the great Rambam writes, Amash Amr Ba'avos V'Hakol Lefi Rov Hamas. By the way, there's a mistake here. It says Aleph Tesvav, meaning Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav. It's actually in Perek Gimel. That's a mistake. This Mishnah is in Perek Gimel of Pirkei Avos, V'Hakol Lefi Rov Hamasa. Here, the Rambam has a unique interpretation of that phrase. The Mishnah, I believe it's Rabbi Akiva speaking, says, HaKol Tzafui, V'Harishus Nesuna. We have a Perek Explorer expert here. It keeps me honest. It's good. Yeah, so it's as the Rambam puts it there, these words are fitting for the one who said them, the great Rabbi Akiva, who's a great Torah genius and very deep. But the translation of the Mishnah is, everything is seen, permission is given, and the world is judged for good, u'tuva olam nidon, v'hakol lefi rov hamas, and everything goes by the abundance or the majority action. So the way many commentators take it is, it's talking about how Hashem judges the world. Nobody's perfect, nobody does only good things, but if he's primarily good, we have so many teachings of Chazal, it goes by the majority. Overall, he's good, so that tips the scale in the right direction. The Rambam says that's not what it means. Hakol lefi rov hamaase. It's actually a little difficult in the language. It doesn't say rov hamaasim, but this is the way the Rambam takes it. Hakol lefi rov hamaase means things go by how often, how frequent, how much you act. It's not by the greatness of a single act, the Rambam spells this out explicitly, it's not by doing that one great thing. What affects your midos is repeated. It's a lot of action, repeated action.
But it also, I think, refers to the beginning, Kol Tzavuot V'Harashut Netunah, is that if it's the tension between free choice and everything. So in the free choice, Rashut Netunah, that's where you have a lot of options. So I think that goes to the multiplicity of choice. And so the greatness, the quantitative, you know, I think could refer back to that.
Yeah,
that you have choices all the time. It's all, you know, planned, but you have a lot of choice here.
Right.
And
the Rambam understands
that. The right ones.
The way you choose, or how often, or it goes to your, you know, the point at hand, that the more you work on your character, right, the more things that you do to, even if it's all foreseen, you can't just sit there and watch it happen. You got to, right, like, get in the game and do as much as you can.
Right. The Rambam learns that those opening four words are the deep philosophical paradox. Hakol Tzavuot means everything is foreseen, seen in advance. Farashus Nesunan, nevertheless permission is given to man.
Right.
The Rambam holds in those four words is the whole philosophical question of foreknowledge versus free will. If God knows what I'm going to do tomorrow,
then
do
why
I really
does it matter what I do?
Yeah, if he knows what I'm doing tomorrow, then I can't determine what I'm doing tomorrow, so it's not my free will, which there are many, many, many pages, philosophical pages from Jewish and non-Jewish writers on that subject. But what Rabbi Akiva is saying is, it may be difficult for you to get your head around, but both are true. God knows what you're going to do, but you have permission. You have the free will. And Hashem is forgiving, and He judges people well. If we have free will, it means we're judged for our actions. If we don't have free will, we can't be judged. So Hashem judges us, therefore, but He does judge us favorably. He allows tshuva and so on. And if you want to know how you'll be judged for good, it's not about that one-time great action. It's hakol lefi rov ha'maaseh. The Rambam says explicitly, it's about doing things a lot. So he quotes it here, or he paraphrases it here. Shehamilus le'yagil lefi rov godel ha'maaseh. Milus, good levels of behavior, don't come from the grandness of the action, el lefi rov mispar ha'maaseh, but from the grandness of the number of the actions. By repeating, kofel means like to repeat, good actions many times, he makes a strong acquisition. Ulamashal, for example, this is a paraphrase, but this is the Rambam's example. He gives to one poor person 1,000 gold coins at one shot. It's a very generous gift. He doesn't give the other guy at all. Lo yala biyado midas, because he gave it all away. Lo yala biyado midas hanadivus b'zeh hamasa echad hagadol k'moshe magia l'misha is nadev elef zuuvim be'elef pamim. He hasn't become as benevolent as somebody who would give one gold coin here, and one here, and one here 1,000 times. B'pnei shezeh kofal hamasa hanadivus elef pamim. I should say, maisa hanadivus elef pamim. This person has repeated the benevolent act 1,000 times. He gielo kinyan chazak, and he acquired a strong acquisition. Granted, the sacrifice of this one-time gift was much greater, but it doesn't have the same effect. Then it leaves him adkan tochen dvarav. That's a paraphrase of what the Rambam says, which is a general point also. People are looking for that inspiration. Want to have that epiphany moment. I'm going to, you know, my life is going to change. You can have the epiphany moment, but then you have to act on it repeatedly. We're basically creatures of the way we act, and the way we act is what strongly changes us. It's not one moment of being inspired here or there. So now, next section, Avodas Tikkun HaMidus, the work of Tikkun HaMidus. This is all introduction, by the way. We haven't even started. Parak Beis will be Olam Shel Emes. We'll get there soon. Mitzvah Hashem. But this is all introduction about the importance and the way to be Misakan Midos. Avodas Tikkun HaMidos. My Avodas Tikkun HaMidos. What is it? What is the work? What is the toil? What is the process of fixing the Midos? Kasav HaRambam. Now, this is a quote. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, right at the beginning. And I've said many times, Deos in the Rambam means Midos. Sometimes Deos means a philosophical concept, but here it means midos. So he writes, Deos harbe yesh l'kol echad ve'echa. There are many different midos to every person, mibnei adam, among men. V'zu mishuna mizu. V'rechoku mimena biyosu. And one is different from the other, and very far from the other. Yesh adam shu bal chema. You have a person who is full of wrath. Ko'es tamid, constantly angry. V'yesh adam shedato miyoshevas alav. You have somebody whose mindset is very at ease. V'eino ko'es klal, he doesn't get angry at all. If he will, in fact, get angry, he'll be a little bit in a few years. Very, very rare. A person who's very haughty. A person who's very, very humble. Even shval ruach almost means like low self-esteem. A person who's very full of desire. His soul is never sated from going in its taivas. V'yeshu tahara guf bioser. Another person whose body is very pure, he's not steeped in the physical at all. Lo yis'ave afilu dvar ma'atim shaguf tzarachlam. He doesn't even desire the basic things that the body even needs. He's ascetic. He denies himself and doesn't even miss it. V'yesh bal nefesh rechava shlo tisbanash mikol mamon ha'olam. Now he's talking more desire in terms of acquisition. A bal nefesh rechava means he has a broad soul, but it means his desire to own a lot, master a lot, and have a lot.
But if a person doesn't has a character, whatever, where they absolutely don't desire anything, are they the ascetic, or is the ascetic the one who has the true desire but vanquishes it?
That the Rambam writes about in the sixth chapter of Shmona Prokha. I mean, what you use a particular word for is a semantic matter.
Right, it could have been any of them.
But what's
right.
But what is the sought at? What is better? What makes one righteous? Rambam posed the question in the sixth paragraph of Shmona Prokha. He says, what's better, a person who naturally isn't drawn to bad things, or a person who is and overcomes his desire? His ultimate answer
it's
is
more
that,
schar for the second one. Right? Huh? You get more schar for the
second
one.
Yeah, but. But his ultimate point is when it comes. Now he means like, what state should you be in? One way to be is, I would like that. I'm not going to do it because the Torah said no. The others, I wouldn't even want that. That's what he's addressing there. And he basically says that there are things where the emotion is supposed to be aligned with the mitzvah. You're not supposed to say, I'd like to steal. I would rob you, but the Torah said no, so I won't. You're supposed to say, I couldn't steal. How can I take something that's not mine? Basically, in matters by another lachavero, you're supposed to have the trait.
So what's the schar?
Huh?
What's the schar?
The schar is because it takes a while to get there. But in terms of how a person should ultimately be, I don't have to say I couldn't bring myself to wear a shatnez. It's so anathema. It's so disgusting. No, I would wear that suit with the with the wool and linen. Just Torah said no. But the place where you're supposed to eliminate the desire at all is where the meat is. But in the process, that's a different discussion. Chazal said the place where the person who had to work on it has greater reward than the person from whom it came easy. That's certainly true. So here's the Rambam going through. He's just showing you that we have a whole range of midos, and anybody, a person can fall anywhere on the spectrum in all of these different things. Kenyan Shinemar Oiv Kesef El Yisba Kesef, the Pasuk says in the Solomonic Wisdom, a person who loves money can't get enough money. V'yesh Makatzer Shadayo Afilu Dvar Ma'at Shalo Yaspik Lov El Yirdof L'Hasik Kol Tzarko. Another person, in terms of what he desires to earn in life, he's makatzer, he cuts short, he's not even interested in earning what he needs. There are people who afflict themselves in hunger, and kovetz al yad means he puts a little away. He's constantly trying to gain a little bit by skimping and saving, and he doesn't even eat a penny of his own except at a great personal discomfort. The people who can use up all their money. And similar to this and all the other midos, kagon mahulol va'onen. Here mahulol is like the word hololos. Hololos is like levity. Always a party. And onen is a person who's in anguish. He's mournful. Like the old joke, why do we lang a few psukim in Megillas Esther with the tune of Echa. So that even the Litvaks will have simcha, you know. So some people, there's always a party, and some people are much happier to be in a mournful state. Bekilai, b'shoa, kilai is a miser. L'hachil is to hold, contain, to hold in. Kilai means he holds it in, shoa means he's like a spendthrift. V'achzori v'rachaman, a person who's cruel and a person who's merciful. V'rachleva, v'amitzlev, a person of soft heart and a person of courage. V'chol kayotze b'han, and all the like, ad kan l'shono, end quote of the Rambam. So he utilized the language of the Rambam, but just to make the point that we have a whole range, we have all different realms of midas, and each one is a whole range. V'lochein. And therefore, l'kol echad yesh nisyonos miyachodim b'darko l'hasagas ha-shleimus. Each person has his own trials along the way in achieving shleimus. And as I believe he's going to say later, midos means proper measure. All of the traits are there. But how much pride, how much humility, how much courage, how much softness. You know, midah means you measure it out. Shleimus means getting the right proportions. It's like baking a cake. You got to have the right amount of cocoa and the right, you know, how much margarine, etc., or butter. L'kol echad yesh mahalach mishalo echlus gavel nisyono. So each person has his own approach, how to overcome his trials. Avol hatafkid shel kulonu shove. But the ultimate goal of all, ultimate purpose of all of us is the same. D'hainu lavod al atzmenu ad shenashlem es kol midos, to work on ourselves until we complete all of our midos. Quote, midos, hain miloshen medida, as we've written, that midos is from the language of measure. She'ein mida shehi kula ra o kula tova, el kol mida mishtana kefi amakum v'azman l'ra o l'tova. There's no trait that's good or bad. It depends. It varies in the circumstance. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. V'chach kosev ha'orchot tzadikim, and ha'akdama suz ha'orchot tzadikim, right? Which, again, I told you last time, is a great Musar work that we don't even know the name of the author. It was originally published in Yiddish. Ukeinyan Zavamidos, here's a quote. Yesh midos shetach likach mein harbe, there's some midos you have to take a lot of. Kegon ha'anova v'aboshes v'domein, humility, a sense of shame, and the like. V'yesh midos shetach likach mein ma'at, some you just have to take a little. Kegon ha'gaiva v'ha'azus v'achzarius, pride, brazenness, cruelty. Cruelty is not exactly the right word. Achzarius means the ability to dissociate oneself. It's a lack of empathy. Sometimes you have to practice cruelty. I don't think we ever really want to practice, but in a certain sense, there are times when you have to be able to distance yourself and not feel overcome with remorse. V'lochein, b'yosa adam shoka b'pelas ha-moznayim. When a person, since a person will measure on the balance scale, likach mikol mido mida shi'ura, to take from each mida its proper measure. You know, I have this amount of anger, it's got to be much less. I got to lighten up this. I have this amount of humility, I need much more, and so on. Lo yifchos v'lo yosef. He will not have too little, he will not have too much. Vazei yagia l'tachas hatova, and that way he'll reach the ultimate good. Ad kan l'shono, end quote, from the Archos Tzadikim. As an example that he's going to talk about here, that a person can be naturally a certain way. And it might be a good trait. He's going to talk about, he's patient. He's naturally patient. But that's not tikkun amidas. That's just the way he is naturally. The question is when he has to be impatient, when the right response is actually to be something of a kapdan, does he rise to the occasion? With regard to Yosef HaTzadok, an example comes to mind. The Torah, in describing him in the beginning of Vayeshev, says, Haya roe es echov batzon, v'hu na'ar es b'nei bilav es b'nei zil b'nei she'aviv. So the way the Malbim, and I think the Abarbanel explained the pasuk, Hayiroes Achavatzon means he guided his brothers. He was younger, but he told his brothers, this is how you have to behave when you're shepherding. This is how it's done. He knew what was right, what was wrong. This is how you do it. And he was a lad who used to associate with the B'nai Billah and the B'nai Zilpah. They were the downtrodden and the less respected among the brothers. And because of that, he took up their cause. He stayed with them and associated with them, even though he's the Bachar of Rachel. So the Malbim says, this shows you the tzidkus of Yosef HaTzadik. If a person has a good trait, but they always practice that trait, so you don't really know if it's based on tikkun amidas or just that's the way he is. He's a patient person, or in Yosef's case, he's didactic, he's leading, he's telling people what to do. So maybe that's his nature. He's that didactic person. You should do like this, you should do like that. Always giving etza, whether it's warranted or not. But the fact that when it came to the B'nai Bilam, the B'nai Zilpah, he humbled himself. He was willing to associate and be the friend to the less respected. But then at other times he said, no, I have to tell you this is the right thing to do. The same thing, by the way, with reporting to their father that they weren't doing the right thing. You see that he can adopt opposite traits. At times he can
but
be the leader.
Also argue that, to get back to the Tzar Balei Chaim, he liked the older brothers less. You know, so was he telling him what to do because that's his nature? Or, you know, it's easier to hang out with these guys.
Okay, that would be an approach. I hear it.
I don't know.
He's suggesting that it takes the opposite trait to be able to hang around with the B'nai Bil and the B'nai Zilpah and to be able to stand in the front when they're shepherding and be the roeh.
Mm-hmm. So this may be the answer to the question that I was going to say. Can I ask a tangential question?
Sure.
Which is, I'm trying to imagine who the audience is to all the Musar. Not Kestenbaum, but originally. And, like, Lachavdiel, you're not teaching Psych 101, you know, to Yeshiva Bachurim. So the question is sort of like, well, where are they even learning either the names of these things, or is it all coming, just like in this example, through their learning of Chumash, which they don't learn, but if they were to be learning it in the interpretation that they are, where are they learning what are midos, what are they, and how does one even know if it's too much or too little? Like, there's no, like, separate class in emotional development or character development. What's their baseline of knowing that he knows it? But how does...
Because they have Musar classes.
Do they? I don't know, I'm just saying.
The early Musar Svarim, mm-hmm. I mean, the Rambam analyzes midos very thoroughly.
And the idea was that you would be teaching them...
Yeah. Some things need a live guide, which is why Musar always had live personalities who really understood the depths of the character, because to take it from book knowledge to applied knowledge requires mm-hmm. really understanding the human soul. But
that's what Musar did. It was a separate sort of category of learning. It wasn't all just...
Yeah, the opponents of Musar held... We've always had those svarim. We don't have to make a new emphasis... Anybody who's a Talmud Chacham has learned the Rambam Shmona Prakim, and he's learned the introduction to this Sefer, and the Archos Sadikim was always there. In the
but they weren't arguing then that, like, well, look at Yosef. You know, are they trying to use the Torah personalities as the only, but not the only, sources of...
That's part
of
it. I mean...
Like, how do you analyze...
We basically have Halacha and Agoda. Those are two areas of Torah.
That's what we got.
Halacha is... the technical aspects, which you ultimately can be Musar too, but, you know, what does the water have to be like for the Tehillas Yadayim? Is it like this or like that? Not necessarily directly directed at character development. And Agoda, you know, the word Agada in Hebrew really used to mean legend. We have no interest in legends for legend's sake. You know? Paul Bunyan, no interest. We are interested in what those teach. Greater is the chatter of the servants of the Avos because of the Musar it teaches. So Agoda is basically Musar.
Okay. So that's how, like...
It's a Gemara. Ritzon Chaladas. If you want to know the creator of heaven and earth, Lamod Agoda, learn Agoda. Agoda was Musar. And the earlier, you know, the opponents of Musar held, you get it naturally through learning the Torah. The Gemara has sections like that, the Medrash and so on. And others held, no, we have to sort of distill, we have to take it out as a separate section and learn it. But it's all there, the wisdom is there.
Nothing. Yeah, I just didn't know, like, how they, you know, begin to learn it, but so they get
clear. Nothing was innovated in 1860, or whenever, you know, Musar was becoming, it was a greater emphasis, but
it was always there,
yeah. Yes, Ulamashal, bottom paragraph on Tesvav. Midas ha-savlanus ala rov zeh tov ma'od. Generally, savlanut, patience, comes from the word sovel, which means to tolerate, to be able to suffer or tolerate something on the majority is something very good. Omnam, however, the omim b'makom mitzvah tzarach lios kapton. At times, in the instance of mitzvah, you have to be a kapdan, a person who's makbid, is a stickler. V'lochein, mishu b'teva savlan, a person who by nature is tolerant. V'derech klal, yachzik b'savlanus. In general, he should take fast hold of his savlanus. But he should train himself where necessary. He should be a kapdan. Same is true of the opposite. Mishu b'teva kapdan, a person who by nature is very unyielding. Yachzik b'midazu b'makom shetzarach. He should only hold on to this meat in the place where it's needed. Avol b'derech klal yilmaratz maliyas savlan. He should try to train himself not to be that way. Oh, for the most part, it's not a good trait, and not the applicable trait. V'chein b'chol midu. Midu, the same is true with all midos. Yachzik ha'adam b'midos v'kachos v'tivim b'makom hanochon v'zman hanochon. He should continue to maintain his natural midu in the place, and his natural strength in the place where it's appropriate. Alva yishtad alasos kinegativo kishazen nochem. He should work hard to go against his nature where that's the right thing to do. Umize yavo ha'adam liyos sholem b'midos. So that's how man will come to be complete in his midos. V'konel ha'atzmo amiti, and will acquire for himself all the kochos that he needs to be a true Eved Hashem. Kol matzav u'matzav sh'adam motzei es atzmo machayev hanhagah shana. In every situation that a person finds himself, here the word machayev means necessitates. The word chayev can mean obligated, and it could also mean necessitates. It can mean a logical thing. A is machayev, B. This situation is machayev hanhagashon. It requires, it necessitates a different conduct. V'lochein rak mi sheyesh lo shlita al midosav. Only one who has domination, dominion over his midos, yochol ino karoy b'chol makom b'chol zman, will be able to conduct himself the right way, or as appropriate, in all places and at all times. Vinir, and it appears, Kashem Shadam Yachalimda Rak Mashiesh Lo Kvar, a person can only measure what he has already. You can't take stock of what you don't have in stock. Kainu b'midos, so is it with midos. Kol midu midos Shadam Tzarach K'dei Lavras Hashem Kvar Tumuna B'kirbo. Every midah that a person needs in order to serve Hashem is already hidden in his heart. Rav Zelig Epstein was once talking on Rav Yerucham Levavitz's yard site. And he said that they had a fascinating experience when they learned of Yerucham Levavitz's Musar. When he would first give a mimer, when he would speak, what he was saying sounded very foreign and difficult. It was hard to grasp. Well, what's he saying? And then they would work on it, and they would discuss it. And then as soon as they got it, he said, not only did you get it, but you can't figure out what did he say. It was like, obvious. He didn't say anything. I can't even say it over. There's nothing... Something to say. He said the obvious. So initially, like, you couldn't grasp it. Then as soon as you grasped it, it was so, you understood it so well, you felt like he didn't say anything. And the way he explained this was because Musar is like a flame. You take a candle that has a lit flame and you light the other candle. Now the other candle is lit on its own. It's no longer something external. It's really within you. You're igniting, you're turning on what's already there. When you first talk to me about it, I haven't found it in myself yet, so I don't know what you're talking about. You're describing a way of being and a way of thinking, a way of feeling. I don't relate to it yet, so I'm having trouble grasping it. But then as soon as I grasp it, I see it within myself. That's how we explain that phenomenon. And that's what midos are, pulling out what's already there. Ve'ein l'shayar es kochos ha'adam. One cannot assess, you can't give a value... assign a level to the powers of man. There's limitless. This is what so much of Slobodka Musar was about, is that man doesn't realize the great powers that he has, but he has to work to bring them out. So he says the viewpoint in the world is the opposite of this. I know today I think there's a movement not like this, but they overstate it. Like you can be anything, you can change and be anything. But he's saying the general viewpoint in the world is you just have to be the way you are. The way his parents raised him. The opposite of the view of the Torah. Shadas Torah Senakdosha, he shall call echad yesh bechira yecholos l'shanas azatzma. The view of our Torah is every person has the choice and the ability to change himself. Ein adam yachol lifter atzma velomer kach nevresi. Nobody can exempt himself and say, this is the way I was created. Ma'alai lasos, what should I do? What can I do? It's the way I am. Amas laos ka'elu, excuses like that. And amas is an excuse. Ein sheker v'chozov. They are false and deceitful. L'mashal, for example, ha'baishan ena yachol lomer she'yefshelo lidrosh barabim. The person who's very afraid, he can't shouldn't say it's impossible for him to speak publicly. And the person who's stingy can't say it's impossible for him to be benevolent. They should work on themselves until they complete each midah. But this is not at all an easy thing, as is famous in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It's more difficult to perfect one midah than to learn through all of Shas. I heard Zalig Epstein say that numerous times in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He also used to say, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, I could write endless amounts of Shailos Tshuvos Noda Bihuda, but I couldn't write one page of Maseilas Yesharim. Noda Bihuda is a very advanced Tshuva Sefer with the Gadol Hador. And Maseilas Yesharim sounds simple.
You already know it.
Yeah, right.
Just telling you what you already know.
Yeah, just telling you what you already know. Yet, Rabbi Yisrael said, I could not write one page of the Maseilas Yesharim. I could write endless volumes of Noda Rabbi Yehuda. Because it's a different thing. It's not an intellectual thing. Rabbi Yisrael was an unbelievable genius.
It's like Lakavdia, may I say, as a painter. It's easy. It's not easy. You can learn to draw, and you can do representational work. To do abstraction, it's much harder for most people. You know, you can't
teach that. It's just,
you can't, you know, you're not looking at something in front of you and saying, I can draw that. It's like a halach. I can tell you what that means. But to go deeply, you know, and talk about what isn't there, what isn't obvious, it's coming from another place.
Right.
So Maseilas Yesharim, it's like, you know, it's not like, okay, it's
and here we're talking, it's coming from character perfection.
Yeah.
If you're really attuned, sometimes you start reading the work of somebody and you can feel the character. That's what you mean.
You recognize it, too. But that's
realm.
Why it works, because, yeah. Like you said, you know, I'm going to tell you what you already know.
Right.
It's like making obvious or making visible or understandable what on a very deep level.
Right, right, right. So he says, "Matzino anashim shebiyosim ben chamishim shana dainim tzamhein ba'osim madrega shebiyosim ben chamishis." Right. You find people that are 50 and they're the same level they were when they were 15. Osan midos, kas, kinner, rachas, leva, chulu. The same midos, anger, jealousy, weakness, you know, like lack of courage. Kol echa kafi mashu, tevu and bekirvam. Each one, they're still sunken in within them. Va'af, osam she'osku v'Torah mitzvahs. Even people who've been busy with Torah mitzvahs in their lives. Kevin shelo osku b'tikun ha'midos. Since they haven't toiled on fixing the midos. Adayin lo hisgabru al-midosayim. They have not overpowered the midos. They have to learn the words of the Vilna Gaon that we cited at the beginning. The fact that a person lives, who kidei lishbar mashalo shavar arhena, osa amida, it's to break what he has not thus far broken. That mida, lachain tzarach tomid lizchazik, is to constantly strengthen himself. Vimlo yizchazik, lamalo chayim. And if he doesn't strengthen himself, what does he need life for? What's he alive for? How does a person come to fix his midos? Midos are primarily feelings in the heart. The heart has many midos. Pride and humility, memory and forgetfulness, sadness and joy, a sense of shame and a sense of brazenness, and many more. So he's quoting that the Archa Tzaddikim calls it, they belong to the lave. Aval bevadai halave rak poel ayidei masha seichel maven. But the heart only works based on what the mind knows. L'mashal, for example, adam shemotze schum gadol shel kesef, person who suddenly discovers a huge sum of money. Sichlo Maven, Shazeu Devrata, he just came across free money. So his seichel understands this is a good thing. Umishader es absura hatova lelibo, and it sends the good news to his heart. Why is his heart happy? Because first the seichel understood, I just got something very good, now the heart is happy. Ulachen libo samechel, therefore his heart is happy. Ulahepach, to the contrary, im nevad lo schum galo shel kesef, he lost a lot. Haseichel maven shezera, so first the intellect understands, oh, this is bad. Umishader es absura hara lelibo, and it sends the bad news to his heart. Ulachen libo atzav alav, and therefore his heart is sad. So once we recognize that the midos really follow what the seichel understands, so maybe the first step is to change the way the seichel looks at things.
Technical point, mishader.
It's to send. It's like the broadcast. They use it actually to mean broadcast in modern Hebrew, like a shidur chai, is a live broadcast. You're listening to a shidur chai of all hamidos. Anyway, it means to send. So look at the next paragraph. Avodas ha'adam ena lachsam v'lichposh is called rigshei libo. The job of man is not, lachsam literally means to muzzle. It's not to close down and to hold back all of his heart's feelings. Adarabba, to the contrary, choshuv ma'od, it's very important, sh'adam yeh bal regesh, that a person should have emotions. Musu is not about deadening your feelings. Ela tzarech lishlot al rigshei libo. He has to dominate over them. Lismoach b'mesheroi lismoach, to rejoice over what is worthy of rejoicing. Lios atzu b'makom sheroi lios atzu, and to be sad over what's worthy of being sad. I mean, you speak about great Bali Musa who didn't react to something. It wasn't because they lost all of their, you know, they're just deadened people. To the contrary, he's already worked out in his mind that is not worth being upset about, or that's not really such a joyous thing. And because intellectually they understood that, where everybody else would immediately react emotionally, they're tranquil. Ve'ech yochol lishlot al rik shosef. How is he going to rule over his feelings? Ayidei melech ha'ivarim, by way of the king of the limbs, shehu ha'sechel, which is the sechel. Nikach es ha'mashal hanal. We'll take the above example. Neved lo la'adam kesef, person lost money, v'nes atzev alibu, he's very sad. The reason why he says is because his sechel knows it's a bad thing. But if it's clear to him, if he really believes everything God does is for the good, I'm not living in a random universe that just says random things happen. Everything, there's hashkacha in my life, and everything that Hashem does is for the good. It's hard for him to be sad at all. And every midah person has to work hard to establish within his mind thoughts that cause that his heart will feel the proper feelings. He's going to talk about this. The time to do this is in advance, not only when it comes up, but in advance to think about things. And when it happens, and after it happens. All of the above.
What's the
Mishkiach
from Lakewood?
Reb Nosson Vachvogel? Oh, no, we're currently Reb Matas Yo Solomon.
Yeah, so in his book, or someone gave me the year I was sick, he says, don't daven that bad things shouldn't happen. Because they happen, people die, they're horrible things, people get to daven that you should be able to handle them. Which I think training, train yourself. Anticipate how will you handle, like daven that you're going to have the emunah.
Right. I mean, we do believe that in a given circumstance, whether it's what human beings consider a good eventuality or a bad one, that tefillah can make that Hashem will be gozer, what we call the better one, because we've partnered Hashem in our yearnings. So I don't know if he means that as an exclusive statement.
No, I'm saying he's not saying don't, you know, you can certainly daven that a person gets better.
Right.
And that that wasn't the point. The point was instead of focusing on...
Right.
Overall, like living a life of worry and trying to control the universe, like out with the program, things are going to happen. All you have control over is how will you react.
Right.
That's a loose translation.
Right. No, in a general sense, I want to live a life of bliss.
But that you'll be able to handle, is that also like training your midos? Like, instead of saying, I'm going to be, like, whatever, I'm going to be able to handle, you know. everything is for the good, you know, mantra, you know.
Right, that right. Absolutely. And he's going to say that before the Nisayon comes up is the easier time.
Yeah, that's what I...
To work on it, rather than when it does come up. As I've mentioned a number of times, one of the nice things about learning Musar, Huttner writes, is that whereas when you learn halacha, you can first learn how to build the sukkah, but you still have to go outside and build the sukkah. But in Musar, we can think about scenarios as we're learning from Svarim, and that actually can be a tikkun amidos. So the study of Musar is actually the work on the midos, and Be'ezus Hashem, it should give us the strength of character to be guided by the seichel and have the hergeshim follow the seichel. You recall when we sat at this table and studied the works of the Chazon Ish, the work of the Chazon Ish, Emunah Bitachon, he talks about seichel and dimyon. Seichel is pure seichel, dimyon is emotional. Yeah, it's imagination. It's like he uses it to mean like emotional thinking. So he says many people, their dimyon leads the seichel. It was an issue when I... That can't be. I decide this is the right response and that's the wrong one. I've already made all kinds of decisions that my emotions are running away with before I really analyze it. He said, what you first have to do is analyze it purely from a seichel perspective. What's actually correct? What's actually true? And then let the emotions be guided by that. And when the seichel guides the hergeshim, then we have tikkun amidos. Okay, we'll continue next time. Ezra Hashem.